Another man can undo it. Amen. I'm just looking for what God can do. My prayer is this. My prayer is this, and I don't want you to think anything other than what I'm saying. I'm praying now for the Holy Spirit of God to move into the town of Tredegen throughout the valleys of South Wales to prepare a way for another Welsh revival in that nation. And you may be sitting in your pews and may say, well, preacher, those revivals were from yesteryear, and those are 1904 and 05 and 1772, those were revivals. God's done with the United Kingdom. You may be saying that. And I'm telling you tonight, God ain't done anywhere, amen.
That's
if there's
right.
breath in people's bodies, there's hope for their souls to be saved, amen. And I'm telling you, if we can get the Word of God there, God can open a door. But that's the key. He's got to open the door.
That's
and I'm
good.
Fine with that, amen.
Amen.
So my prayer tonight, and I ask you to pray this prayer, especially over the next several weeks, pray God will send the Holy Spirit throughout that town and prepare people's heart to receive the Word of God.
Yes,
we're going to preach and teach when we arrive. Amen?
Yes,
Hebrews in chapter 12 tonight, just a simple, simple thought this evening. Hebrews chapter 12. Hey, you know, it's up to Him, man. That's what it is. God has a plan. He's had a plan since the foundation of the world. We know that to be true. John looked up there and saw a lamb slain, amen, as it were, from the foundation of the world. God was never surprised, amen. Amen. He knew that. God never woke up one day and said, oh, my soul, what do those people do down there? Let me figure out what I need to do. God knew what He needed to do to reconcile His people back unto Himself, amen. And a perfect person, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to come, step in our place, and die for us. So God had a plan, and He's got a purpose to reconcile us to one another, amen. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose tonight. And we need to realize that this evening. And we're not just alone from the ride. We're all of us, everyone here tonight, from the pulpit to the pews, we are on the forefront. We are on the front line of God's plan and God's purpose in reconciling His people back unto Himself. Hebrews chapter 12, and if you'll stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God, if you're willing and able to tonight, just real quick message this evening. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read in verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, amen, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. By the way, if you're here tonight and you're saved and born again, positionally speaking, you are already in heavenly places according to the book of Ephesians, amen. Tonight, amen. You said, preacher, I'm in Jamestown, North Carolina. No, you're not. You're up in heaven right now, positionally speaking, with the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And there's not one thing, one person, there's not one act on all of this world tonight that can take that away from you, amen. Verse 3 says, for consider Him that endures such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied. Boy, faint you. We can talk about that, can't we, honey? Today alone, I mean, we can sit back and I tell you, if we don't consider the Lord Jesus Christ, we may would be wearied and faint. But God is good, isn't He?
Yes, sir.
He says, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Father, we thank You for all that You've done, for who and what You are. I thank You for this blessed church, and I thank You, dear God, for the appearance of the Holy Spirit of God here this evening. I thank You for the praising and the blessing of song already this evening. And Father, I pray for the next few moments that You would just bear with me, dear God, in all of my infirmities. And Father, I pray that You take hold of Your Word and Your message tonight. Bring it to the hearts and the minds of all the people. Touch them, dear God. Move them in a great way. We love You now and we thank You in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen and amen. Thanks so much there for standing. The Bible says that wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Friend, there are men of God, there are missionaries, church planters, pastors, evangelists, Sunday school teachers, teachers as well, family and friends who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that have gone on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, who are yet in His presence tonight, amen, that's gone on before us. And we see those witnesses, if you will, that have gone on before us, that have served God, that have served Him faithfully. Pastor mentioned Vance Havner earlier. Yeah. The most quoted man in all of our modern church history is noted about being. Listen, Vance Havner was a great man. We have a witness of his testimony in his life. Amen. Several men of God that have gone on before us. Listen, we got the testimony of the Apostle Paul, who in AD 68 was beheaded for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote unto young Timothy and said, I've kept the faith. He said, I finished my course. Amen. He said he was loving the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he kept the faith. And he finished his course. My friend, I'm just saying all this to you tonight, that what Paul is telling us here, and I believe Paul wrote the book of the Hebrews, and you can think differently, that's fine, amen. But nevertheless, what he's saying here, he's saying that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and we can look at their testimony and all that they've done before us, and the weights and the sins that we may have in our life that's besetting us, which that word means to hinder or to hold back or to hinder us in the race of seven. You know, I tell you what, I preached a message here in our church a few weeks back, and it was about the race that was before us. And no matter what, when you got saved, somebody says, you need to get in the race. When you got saved, you got in the race. Amen. You don't have a choice. You say, well, I've not to run. That's fine. You're still in the race.
That's
amen.
Good,
we have, every child of God that is born again tonight has a finish line to cross where Jesus Christ is at the front, is at the end of that line, sitting there, amen, at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yes, sir. Yes,
every
sir.
Child of God has a finish line.
That's great.
Whether you like it or not, you're in a race tonight. Paul uses this race here as an illustration. He writes by inspiration of the Word of God. He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How are we going to run this race? We are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our whole key is to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the Apostle Peter, the only other man in all of mankind's history to defy our law of physics, amen, and essentially the law of gravity, and walked on water, amen. He got up right out of the boat. I've heard a preacher preach this one time, and preach about that, and he says, well, you know, Jesus Christ never told him to come. He asked to come, and Jesus Christ just said, come. And I said, didn't you just say he never told you to come? Amen. Jesus Christ said, come. And old Peter stepped out of that boat there, and he started walking on water, man.
Amen.
But then what did he do? He sunk like a rock the moment he started looking at the storms of life. The moment he took his eyes off Jesus Christ, he sunk like a rock. And you know, that's what we do. We hold on to these weights, and we hold on to these weights that eventually become sins in our life. And we try to run this race, and we take our eyes off where Jesus Christ is. And before you know it, we're doing things that we would have never in our life thought about doing. Amen. Our pastor preached on Samson this morning. What a great, wonderful message that he preached on Samson and all the great things that Samson was, but all the great things that Samson could have done. Amen.
That's great.
I tell you what, he got his eyes off the finish line. Amen. Paul kept his eyes on the one who had already finished the race, had finished it beautifully. He didn't like, hey, listen, Jesus Christ despised the shame of the method that he had to finish the race, yet he did it anyway, knowing what was at the end, and that was our salvation.
That's
amen.
Exactly right.
Can I tell you this? What the Bible tells us in verse 3, it says, for consider him. You say, well, wait a second, preacher. You say, now wait a second. You say that if we need to run this race, we know to lay aside the weights. It's common sense. We need to put sins off of us. Amen. You don't need a lesson on that. That's just common sense. I mean, if you need a lesson on that, I mean, I got a bridge up in New York. I'll sell you. Amen. If that be the case. But you know, we got sins that we got to get out of our life. We have weights that are hindering us and holding us back. They're not necessarily sins.
Right.
But they're holding us back from doing what God wants us to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
So Paul gives us an illustration here in how we can run the race. And number one, we need to consider the one who has already finished it. How did Jesus Christ finish his race, man? Can I tell you this, that first of all tonight, Jesus Christ, when he finished the race, if we consider him tonight, consider all that he's done, that number one, he was not selfish. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." I want you to think about it. All sin, in its most simplistic form, is rooted and grounded in selfishness.
Yes,
think
sir.
About it. The lust of the eyes, whose eyes? Your eyes.
Right.
The lust of the flesh, whose flesh? Your flesh. The pride of life, whose life? Your
That's
life.
Right.
Amen.
Jesus.
It's ours.
Yes.
It's sheer selfishness tonight.
That's great.
That brought about sin. It brings about sin in our life. So consider Jesus Christ, who is tempted and touched with our infirmities, tempted in all ways, just like we were, amen. But he never sinned. He said, well, he was God. I understand that. And he was perfect, but yet he was still tempted, amen.
Yes,
and he still did not sin. You say, what does that mean?
Right.
Listen, when Jesus Christ moves into your life,
uh-huh.
can I tell you something? The selfishness begins to subside. I want you to think of a few illustrations. Just think about it for a second. The maniac of Gadara.
Yeah.
That maniac of Gadara was somebody's son. He was someone's brother.
Yeah.
He was someone's neighbor. He was someone's friend. He was someone's cousin, amen.
Yes, sir.
There was more than likely he was someone's daddy and
right.
he was someone's husband. More than likely if you
right.
get under Jewish tradition.
Right.
Okay? Now, if that be the case, he was possessed of a devil. When he was possessed of these legions, these thousands upon thousands of demons, when he was possessed of them, the only thing he was ever concerned with was himself. He took his own clothes off,
that's
ran around naked.
Right.
He lived in the cemetery, amen. He cut himself left and right. But when Jesus Christ moved in, the devils moved out, and the only thing he thought of was to get in his right mind, be clothed, and sit at the feet of Jesus, amen. Jesus Christ got on that boat. What do you want to do? He goes, I want to go with you. And he says, nope, you go to your cities, and you tell what great things Christ had done for you. Friend, that's what happens. When Jesus Christ moves in, the selfishness begins to subside. I didn't say it's eliminated.
No, sir.
But I'm telling you, it begins to subside.
That's right, preacher.
Jesus Christ, when we consider him, he was not selfish.
No, sir.
You look at Cornelius over there, the Bible calls him a devout man. But he was a lost man.
He was.
But God heard his prayers.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he sent a Jew named Peter over there to witness to him. And that old boy in Acts chapter 10 got saved. Amen. Matter of fact, he opened up the door with his salvation.
Yes,
he was the first descendant of Japheth to be saved and born again. And he opened up the whole door to it. Acts chapter 9, the apostle Paul gets converted. The only thing that he was concerned about was wiping out this new religion called Christianity, amen. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the church, amen. He was doing all those things. And on the road to Damascus, amen, hey listen, Jesus Christ struck him down. He knew it was God talking to him, but he said, who art thou, Lord, amen. He was asking, hey listen, I know you're the self-existent eternal one, but what's your name? Who are you? He says, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Paul's very next words were, what would thou have me to do? It wasn't it wasn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
It was about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Acts chapter 8, that Ethiopian eunuch, he wanted to be a Jew so bad.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to be a Jew so bad. He wanted to be part of Judaism. He came to Jerusalem more than likely for that purpose, amen. And found out, even according to Jewish law, because he's a eunuch, he was unable to join their religion. Here's a man seeking God, being cast out of Jerusalem, a man of very great wealth, in charge of all of the funds of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia there, and he's reading the gospel tract, if you will.
Yeah.
Isaiah 53.
Sure,
oh, Philip, run alongside, so understandest thou what thou readest. He said, how can I unless some man should show
me?
Boy, he picked it up right then and there. That old guy said, hey, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?
Yeah.
And if you got the right book tonight, you got the next verse, amen.
Yeah.
He said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the very first Hamite to get saved, opening up the door.
Yes,
all
sir.
Three
yes,
races
sir.
Of this entire world
yes, sir,
were saved. The door was opened up for them to be saved
that's
in three chapters.
Exactly right.
Acts chapter 9, or Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10.
Yes, sir.
And every single one of those transformations, every single one of those conversions, you know what happened? Their self took a back seat. Amen. The Bible tells me in Acts chapter 6, When Stephen was sought out as to be one of those first seven deacons there in a church of about 25,000, amen, there in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They said, you find me seven men full of faith in the Holy Ghost.
That's
amen.
Right.
On down the way, the Bible talks about Stephen being full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and it says he's full of faith and power, amen.
Amen.
You know, if he was full of faith and power, full of faith in the Holy Ghost, he had no room for himself.
That's exactly right.
For consider him in Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus Christ was not selfish. Secondly, real quick tonight, the author and finisher of our faith, not only was he not selfish, but Jesus Christ did not focus on his situation. Look there in the very same passage of Scripture. I believe it would be verse 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross.
Right.
Friend, can I tell you this tonight? The religious cults are holding people in bondage. The religious crowd in this day was so full of hypocritical teaching, just like they are today. Amen.
Yes,
the world that he was living in at this time not only had religious cults, but it had rebel forces trying to overthrow the government.
Yeah.
You had a Roman ruling nation that was controlling all of the land, and all of these things that was going on. Jesus Christ was not moved.
Right.
And what he had to do. Matter of fact, he chose 12, amen.
Yeah.
And one of them was a devil.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, my soul, I did, you know.
Yeah.
Churches are split all the time. Jesus had 12. One of them was a pure blood devil, amen.
That's exactly right.
I tell you, you're not doing too bad if you run about 100, amen. Yeah. You only got one or two devils in there.
Yeah, that's good.
I believe what the Bible says. It says Judas was a devil. It didn't say he had one.
That's right.
Can I get an amen right
that's
there?
Right. Amen.
I'll give you another one there. The Bible calls him the son of perdition.
Sure
there's only one other entity in the Bible called the son of perdition.
Yeah,
and that's the Antichrist, amen.
That's right.
Go home and study that one now. Maybe you'll know who the Antichrist is now. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. We keep looking for the White House. We got it in the white book, amen, right here, the old black book of who the Antichrist is. It's right there, praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Saying all that to say this tonight, Jesus Christ stayed his course despite religious cults, despite rebel forces, despite a Roman nation, despite all the things, even having Judas here. He just says, what thou doest, do quickly.
Yeah.
He says, go ahead and get it done with.
Yes, sir.
He stayed the course, my friend. He endured the cross. It wasn't that he looked forward to it.
No, sir.
But he endured the cross because he knew what would be at the end. Let me tell you lastly tonight, when we consider him, consider what Jesus has done for you. Well, I tell you, we love him tonight for one reason, and one reason alone, and that's because he first loved us.
Amen.
Pastor alluded to that before I got up here tonight. We love Jesus Christ, not because we had a heart full of love. We love him because he first loved us. We love him tonight, my friend, because even though we were sinners, the Bible says that he commended his love toward us. And that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That word commendeth means to offer. Man, can you imagine someone being so grace-filled? He'd offer his love towards somebody that's just a pure, wretched sinner.
Have fruit.
Jesus Christ was not selfish. He didn't focus on the situation at hand. But he didn't fall to the surroundings. The Bible says he despised the shame. The Bible says, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Find that written in Deuteronomy 21 that Paul quotes in Galatians 3. Yes. Jesus Christ was sinless. He had no sin. He had no guile, which is deceit, that was found in him. He is the author and finisher of our faith. The current surroundings and the popular choices that were being made in the world was not going to deter him for the work that had to be done. And that work tonight, my friend, is what allowed him to finish the course that was set before him. And tonight he is at the finish line as the author and finisher of our faith. It's personal tonight. Positionally speaking, we are in heaven.
Yes.
But personally tonight, we are running this race. And our Savior, who has the power, is standing before us, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And all he's saying, I finished it, come on. And then we got a great cloud of witnesses that is about him, the Apostle Paul, who kept the faith and finished his course, amen. Therefore, it's laid up for him a crown of righteousness. And it's over there. He's saying, hey, you got it right here. He says, come on, you can do it, amen. Just cast off some of those weights and drop those sins and keep running, amen.
Yes,
Jesus Christ finished the course so that you and I not only may compete in the race, but that we can finish it as well. Friend, he did despise the shame. I'm going to close with this thought tonight. We'll be done. Our faith tonight is in the one that's already finished. Now, I don't know about you. I'm a football fan. You guys, most of y'all know that. And as is already noted, I don't wear much orange. Amen. I wear some red or crimson. Amen. Like that boy's shirt right there. Amen. I like to win. You say, well, it's not about winning. Well, they shouldn't keep score. Amen. I like what Bear Bryant said. Bear Bryant said, a tie. You know, they back when they had ties.
Yeah.
He said, a tie. That's like kissing your sister. It just shouldn't happen. Amen.
Yeah.
Go for the win. I then got carnal. I don't even know what I was going to talk about now. But you know, if you record a ball game and you already know who wins, you can kind of kick back in that game.
Yeah.
When your team's won, especially.
That's right. That's
you just kind of watch it. You just watch it for entertainment now. You're
yeah.
Looking at it. Guys, look, he's already finished the race.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Already finished. He's
yes,
over
sir.
There right now.
Yeah.
And as long as we'll keep our eyes on it, we know the end of the story. As long as we will keep focused on that finish line where Christ is tonight, as long as we'll do that, we not allow the situations in our surroundings to impede on our race, if we not allow the weights of this life to hinder us or beset us, the sins that we may be holding on to, cast them to the side because he's already finished. Be not selfish. Don't focus on the situations and don't focus on the surroundings. Jesus Christ did that. He prepared in the night in which he was betrayed, my friend. And when he prepared to do that, and I'll just tell you this and I'm done. I'm trying not, I'm about a minute over. I apologize. I'm going to tell you this. When Jesus Christ stepped down off the throne of glory, he knew what had to be done. He's God.
Yeah.
And when he told Judas, what thou doest, do quickly, he knew what he was going to do.
You're right, preacher. You're right.
He gave the last supper, as we call it, and initiated one of the two ordinances that he gave for the church in the Lord's table, showing his death till he come. And he walked across that valley of Gehenna there, and he took those disciples with him. And he took James, John, and Peter along out a little further. Then he went a little further than that, started praying. And the Bible says that he was in great sorrow. And the Bible says as he went over there that there were great drops of blood was falling from him. And three times he came back to those disciples, found them sleeping. And three times he went back and he prayed the same prayer. And
right.
This is the prayer. Father, if there be another way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You say, what's the cup, preacher? Was it the cross? It wasn't the cross. He said, what's the cup, preacher? Was it the crown of thorns? It wasn't the crown.
No, sir. No, sir.
What's the cross, preacher? Was it the crowd ridiculing me? It wasn't the crowd.
No.
My friend, the cup was this. He that was tempted in all ways, yet never sinned.
Yes, sir.
He that was found without guile,
you're
no deceit.
Right. You're right, preacher.
He that was perfect in all ways from eternity to eternity had to become sin.
That's right, preacher.
So that he may pay the price for me.
That's exactly right.
The Bible tells me in the Old Testament that God's eyes are purer than our eyes.
Sure does.
And it says this, that canst not look on iniquity.
Yes, sir.
So God the Father, as we look at what Jesus Christ is saying, if there be another way,
yes, sir.
I'll take the beatings. I'll take the scourging. I'll take the cross. I'll take the stripping. I'll take the ridicule. I'll take the mockery. But if there be another way.
Yes, sir.
Just this one cup. Is there another way?
That is good, preacher.
For 3 hours span when Christ was on that cross, the lights went out in all the world. And I believe every light went out. I believe that this world was so black you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I believe that God turned out all the lights. You couldn't lit a match. You couldn't lit a candle. You couldn't have set a flame on fire. I believe God put an end to it for 3 hours. And here's why.
Yes, I believe that.
Because for the only time in eternity, God the Father,
yes, sir, preacher,
and God the Son were separate one of another.
That's right.
For 3 hours.
You're right.
Just because he could become a sin on the cross to pay for you and I. We love Him because He first loved us. So consider Him tonight when you look at Him enduring the cross, the separation from His Father. Oh, He pled with Him if there be another way. He didn't want to be separate from the Father, my friend. If that is what the sin in this world has done with us, it has separated us. As the brother sang the song, the people need the Lord.
Yeah.
That pain that He suffered that night, as we can consider Him by looking at Him at the finish line, not only empowers you and I to finish the race, but it should propel us to go in and persuade people to be saved and born again. Because that's what Christ went through, and that's what the Father went through, so that we can be saved tonight. Would you consider Him this evening in your ministry? You consider Him in all that you do and all that you say. You consider Him when you go forward from this church tonight and you want to pull a track out and you go, well, maybe I'll put it back in. Consider what He went through.
Yes, sir.
To give us a perfect word and one day provide to us a perfect world. Will you bow your heads tonight? And every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you will. You're here tonight, and the Lord is just...